السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the 22nd of April 2017, and we welcome all our listeners to another edition of the program known as Streaming Reels on Radio Islam International. Well, it's good to be back with our listeners after a break, alhamdulillah, holiday season. And then, of course, this month of April, generally you have your holidays, and then you have your weeks generally are cut very, very short. Now, of course, you know, when it comes to the teachers, perhaps, and it comes to the students, then they are looking forward to a month like this. But also, you do realize by the end of the month the amount of work you could have got done and the amount that actually does get done because of all the holidays and your weekends and perhaps like next weekend again, Thursday, Friday, then the following Monday again. So it becomes another very short week, or both weeks become so short like this year again then. But nonetheless, for the fishermen out there, or for the guys that are probably starting now the hunting season, of course, it's only good news when you have weeks coming like some of the weeks we have ahead of us. So you're going to look forward to it, and of course, you're going to plan a wonderful trip for yourself and for the families as well. Let's catch up with Brother Luqman Mia, the sponsor of the Screaming Reels program. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping, Luqman?
Allah shukran. Assalamu alaikum to all our listeners as well.
Luqman, we just said to our listeners that generally, in terms of students, perhaps, you know, a month like the month of April, it's a welcoming month, because I mean, you have you have your holidays, your school holidays, and then you have a lot of weeks that are actually a 4-day or 3-day week. In terms of businesses, in terms of, even I said, the students by the end of that month actually realize that, listen, we could have done so much more in this month had there not been so much of breaks. But then also, it's an excellent opportunity for the outdoor and for the fishermen.
Gee, Alhamdulillah, it's like you said, it's 100% correct. Lot of breaks, we had a lot of holidays, a lot of free time. Children were overexcited about it. I mean, they got another few days coming up next week, so they're waiting for that break. Also, the 3-4 days that they'll be off school and madrasa as well. So, but it was a good opportunity, like you say, for fishermen. We had a lot of clients going, you know, to all parts of the country, or even going cross border, so to say, because it was nice long weekend that they could go and do some serious fishing.
Local, Luqman, where were the guys generally targeting? Where were the guys going most, Luqman?
Local carp fishing is still good. Even guys on the Vaal River were getting some good yellowfish, because the river, you know, after the good rains we had, alhamdulillah, the river started clearing up, and the fish were on a bite, so guys were getting very good yellowfish on the river. And then carp, naturally, you know, because of Vaal Dam, and most dams are full, they were feeding quite a bit, so guys really caught nice carps. And in the carp at Loskop, you know, that this season, alhamdulillah, I think was probably one of the better seasons we had. I mean, till last week, guys went and caught good fish. Bass, on the other hand, is a bit slow. It's a difficult time of the year to fish. We can start feeling, you know, in the evenings you feel up in a, it's actually cold in the evenings, and bass are very sensitive to temperature change. And, you know, where 2-3 weeks ago guys were still catching good fish, in the last week or so that just died off or gone very slow at the moment. But it's not that you can't catch them, it's just you got to adapt and make the necessary changes to the type of tackle and your techniques that you're using. If you do that, then you can still catch a few fish.
Luqman, of course, you said earlier also, I mean, a lot of the youngsters looking forward to next weekend. Again, another, I think it's a 4-5 day long weekend coming up again. So you're going to have perhaps people planning again. Would that, like you said, a slight chill in the air again, what would be a good option for people to probably venture out towards, not just the serious fishermen here again, but here we're talking about the families on?
Look, you can. I mean, this time of the year, the coast fishing is quite shed and it starts picking up, you know. So if you want to and can make a holiday out of it to the Durban, Natal, you know, Natal north or south coast, it will be well worth it because those shed do start moving in and guys start catching, you know, we've had already reports of some guys catching nice shed. Alternatively, you know, we're entering, you did speak about it, we're also entering the hunting season. So, alhamdulillah, you know, a lot of our customers, a lot of, put it this way, a lot of fishermen are also hunters. So, it's a good time to start, it's a nice long weekend, to first of all get your guns out, get your knives out, you know, sharpen your knives to make sure everything is in order. Go to the shooting ranges if necessary and practice, you know, get some practice rounds in before the hunting season approaches. So we're in a transition phase between the hunting and fishing. So you can do a bit of both. You can fish and you can hunt. It's entirely up to the individual what he wants to do.
Look, when the water crisis, of course, here, alhamdulillah, in our areas, by and large, you find most of the dams, if, like 99% of the dams, I mean, are full, over 100%. I know I did read, somebody posted the other day on WhatsApp, you know, some of the dams in the northwest region, Middelburg Dam, Mpumalanga areas as well. They said most of them were like 85, 95, 101%. But of course, the one that stood out for me was Mokomo Dam, sitting still at 21.5% or something like that.
Yeah, that one, you know, we did speak about it before, that we did hear from one or two fishermen that obviously knew about it, that there seemed to be a problem on the wall or with the sluice gate. And the mere fact that it's the only dam in a region that hasn't gone up, that probably is the truth. But we haven't heard directly from Department of Water Affairs or whatever. Nobody has made a call to them to say there's an actual problem. But I think that is the case. That it's the only dam that didn't go out.
Sure. What about Cape Town, Lukman? Any idea on the situation in Cape Town?
Also, the dams are critical. You know, they're onto water shortages already, you know. So, inshallah, Allah make it easy for them. And Allah sends abundant beneficial rains for them that the dams can fill up, just like he did for us. So we make fervent dua, inshallah, that Allah really helps them, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah. Look, we're just moving abroad now very quickly, you know, perhaps overseas, Maputo, Zimbabwe, Zambia, those areas there. Reports coming from fishermen on that side, Rukman?
As far as Mozambique, the coastline is, more guys have been doing fishing off the boats and catching really nice tuna and barracuda. Uh-huh. One of our clients are leaving in the next day or two because his friend is up there, and the reports they got that the tuna and barracuda are running, you know, they're catching really well. We've also had some guys that went drop shotting or fishing light tackle surf and caught nice, you know, these different species of kingfish. Nothing big though, but good fun. You know, they said it was really nice because you're catching it on light tackle, you know, 8 or 9 foot spinning rods with light braid, maybe 20 or 30 pound braid. So they had, you know, the guys been having good fun like that. As far as Zimbabwe, Botswana, that area, you know, that's tiger fishing. And generally, this is the start of the tiger fishing. So, like we spoke about the upcoming long weekend, it's a perfect weekend for somebody that wants to go start tiger fishing. They've got to go to the Upper Zambezi. That fishes best this time of the year. So, this long weekend is a perfect opportunity if anybody wants to go. There's a lot of lodges or resorts you can go to and do boat hire, and they've got trained guides that will take you to the necessary or good areas to fish.
100%.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
My friend, I was a bit involved with the sports, and then I just
were you running, Adil?
I was running, yeah. Lukman, how are you keeping?
Allah shukar, and you, Adil?
Alhamdulillah. Maaf, I just got the tail end of your discussion in terms of the long weekend and the tiger fishing.
We were just talking about if anybody wants to go on a nice trip, it's a nice long weekend, to travel a bit further and go do some tiger fishing.
No, look, in terms of okay, fair enough, like you say, it's an ideal weekend, but, you know, I know from perhaps previously going out on a long weekend like this year, wouldn't you rather advise perhaps our listeners for them to leave, if possible, I mean, a day before the long weekend actually starts, and to probably get back there because of your road traffic and your border post congestion?
That always is affected, like, if you can do it, you know. Depends how particular. You know, some people don't mind missing a day of school or madrasa, but others are particular where they want their child to take most benefit. In that case, you can't, you'll have to. But the best time then to do is to leave very early in the morning. You know, you can rather sleep the night than leave very early. Generally, you miss the traffic if you leave very early in the morning. Luan, in terms of preparation for something like this, like if you're going out on a long weekend, you know your target species is there. One is tackle preparation, obviously, and the other thing is that, you know, you're talking about border posts and things like that. How, from what you heard from your clients and even when you guys have been on trips, etc., what sort of advice can you give our listeners in terms of traveling, you know, to go on a long weekend out of the country? The most important is obviously your vehicle, you know, that before you do anything, you've got to make sure once you've decided the venue or destination you're going to make, or even before you decide on a destination, make sure you've got a vehicle that can take you there. So that would be the most important. And then make sure the necessary checks are included. Your motor, oil, water, tires, you know, that's very important these days. Your spare wheel. When you're doing cross-border, different countries have got different regulations that you need. Different types of stickers, different types of road rules. So you've got to make sure that you get up for it. If you're going to an AA officer, just contact the AA if you're an AA member. Generally, they give you a nice breakdown of what to do, what to take for each different country. Or you can contact even most travel agents that specializes in those areas will be able to tell you. Because the last thing you want on a holiday going down is either having a problem with traffic officials or breaking the law somehow. So when you're doing that, when you're doing these trips, make sure those things are in place, your vehicle, necessary stickers that you need, or knowing what extras to carry. You know, some guys, you have to have those bright colored vests. So that if you do get a punch or something at night, people can see you, your triangles, all different things. Make sure that's all in order before you leave on your trip.
Excellent stuff. And then in terms of fishing tackle and, you know, targeting, like you said, tigers at the moment, you know, are there any particular rods, reels, baits, etc., that people need to start focusing on if they want to go over? I mean, you don't want to get to a place and then you see the target species is there and it's got teeth like a tiger, and then you find that, hey, I've underprepared.
The easiest thing is to pop into a Solis, you know, at the end of the day. If you're a first-time tiger fisherman, yeah, we can give you a guideline over the phone. But most are experienced, most guys have been, so they know what to do. Your tiger fishing is, basically, you need a decent 7 foot medium to heavy action spinning or casting rod spooled up with recently braid has been the preferred line to use, 20 or 30 pound braid. Very important is to have steel traces because of those sharp teeth you're talking about, and different areas different lures work, but generally it's you know, lures like we call or shallow or deep diving rapalas in a brighter colors, what we call fire tiger is a brightish green one, or you get what we call a red head. It's pearl white with a red head. And then your different spinners, you know, you got your maps, spoons like your dam FZ. And then when it comes to fishing with fillet, they drift, so you'll take a normal single long shank hook onto your steel trace and just tie a piece of fillet and drift in a current with it. So that's basics. But if you want more information, it would be better to pop into any of the branches. Inshallah, the salesman are geared up to guide you.
I think something like this, even if you just go there just to, to hear what's happening and see the rod, the reel, and the way it's rigged up would be quite interesting, Aaron.
I'm just thinking about how the guys can get ready to go do some shopping there. But you know how it goes with fishing tackle. Every piece of fishing tackle you buy, sometimes you have to replace a shoe in a wife's cupboard or a handbag or something like that.
Also, a lot of your, if you're a bass fisherman, a lot of your most bass rods is sufficient enough to catch tigers. So even if you're a bass fisherman and you don't have to go and buy specially a tiger rod because your bass tackle can do the job.
Yeah, but obviously, guys coming out to Swally's Angler's Corner, inshallah, will get very, very good advice, and make sure you take your card with so that you can purchase some heavy duty tackle. I say if you're going particularly for a type of fishing, make sure that you gear up, and I think the best guys that you can ask are the guys from Solis Angler's Corner.
And inshallah, there's alhamdulillah, our Faryanakhang branch is under new management, and so if people want to buy really good tackle or stuff at cheap prices, we've got, the shop's got a lot of old tackle which we're trying to move out at good prices. So if anybody wants to buy old model reels or old model rods at good prices, they're more than welcome. The shop is under new management now. We're giving better, as you know, our motto Solis has always been better service, better selection and better price. So that's what we're going to try and do in Faryanakhang as well, inshallah, in the coming months. Just give it a nice good clean up, put a better selection of stuff, faster moving lines. But in the meantime, we're trying to get rid and sell off quite a bit of the older stuff. So if anybody wants good deals on rods and reels, a reel doesn't go off, a roll doesn't go off, it's not perishable. So if nowadays things, we have to be honest and open about it, good tackle is expensive. So if it's if good, then you can't afford the most expensive stuff, and you want cheaper tackle, then all those in a Val Triangle area or from lands or wherever, if you're prepared to take a drive to Faryanakhang, the shop is on 47 Voortrekker Street, so in Faryanakhang.
So that will be on the main road, okay?
On the main road. On the main road, it's diagonally opposite Fushia Motors. So if anybody is in that area and want to take a drive out and maybe pick up a bargain or two on old model rods and reels, they're welcome to do so, inshallah.
Excellent.
I suppose the area is not also too far out for people in the Lanes area and stuff like that, that also want to go and check it out maybe.
And any plans your side for this coming long weekend perhaps?
Inshallah, not on a fishing front. We may do a bit of karpa fishing here and there, but we also keen hunters, so inshallah, I think it will probably be a hunting weekend.
Inshallah. Adil, your side, Adil?
My side for long weekend, only knife making, inshallah.
Knife making.
Yeah. That's my new hobby.
His new hobby, this.
Yeah.
Luqman, jazakumullah for your time, for the wonderful advice as well. We catch up with you next week, Saturday morning, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah. And don't forget, like Brother Luqman has said, inshallah, if you want some bargains, you can try out the Solis Angler's Corner in Faryanakhang on Voortrekker Road. They're selling out quite a lot of, the sort of the older model tackle. But,
new but old.
Will be very, very good. Yeah.
It's new but it's old.
It's new but it's old. Yeah, it's brand new in the box. So I haven't spoken to you for such a long time, alhamdulillah, and mashallah, you had a very spiritual journey. How was your trip?
Alhamdulillah, excellent. If human comes to Mecca, Medina for Umrah, then we can't say anything but alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should accept, inshallah.
Inshallah, Allah accept, and I hope you made lots and lots of dua for us, inshallah.
Ameen, all of that. Trip was very good, just very, very busy. But alhamdulillah, excellent, excellent trip it was.
How was the crowd this time?
Very heavy.
Heavy?
Very heavy. Very heavy. Generally, the Gulf, they have holidays this time of the year. So you generally have a lot of people from the Gulf, from local, that they are also coming into the Haramain area. So it becomes then very, very, very crowded and very busy as well.
But they very well equipped, I suppose, to manage the crowds and stuff.
Oh no, excellent, excellent. In terms of managing the crowds and assisting and organization, I think it's just so amazing how things get done in Makkah Medina. Something else.
We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us all, inshallah, that we are all as fortunate as Mulana Sajjad Timol. That can do fishing and Umrah trips, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah, Adil. Allah keep on taking us, inshallah, to the Haramain.
Ameen, ameen. All of us, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah.
This last two weekends that went by, not the Ijtima weekend, alhamdulillah, Ijtima, mashallah, was a very, very beautiful experience as well. Also quite a big crowd, but the organization was tops. The guys from Lodium really, went all out. And the system that they used and implemented in the Ijtima, mashallah, was excellent. And I hope the Ijtima was a success. And obviously, the object was to get people moving in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that possible. But the weekends before that, we were out the first weekend before that. I was out at Willow Express. I had a family that I was with, a family of 14, and mashallah, lots of big fish came out on that trip. You know, we caught quite a bit of these grass carp, but huge stuff, like, you know, over 7 kilos.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and the best part was that they were caught in the rapids, you know, and you know, to pull out a very big fish on a very small rod in the rapid, it's something amazing. It's really my brother-in-law was here down from Nelspruit, and he was spending some time with me there at Willow Express.
Really?
And he hooked into quite a huge grass carp on the rocks, you know. And I'm telling him, you know what, the way we're fishing here, it's like fishing at the sea, because it's the same thing, you know. You've got the rocks, you've got that moving water, and you've got this huge fish on the other end of the line, and we're fishing very light tackle. And then the weekend after that, we had this was all in the holiday. We had a get together at Mulana Chibu's farm that is in New Machawi.
Right, sure.
And there also the fishing wasn't fast, like where you're fishing and catching lots of fish all the time. It was slow, but quality fish, very, very big fish were coming out. My one very good friend Hamza, he had some from Mayfair. He hooked a carp that was about, I'd say, in a region of about 9 kilos, you know, something like a specimen type. And what was amazing about that carp was it only had half a tail. It looks maybe an otter or something might have got it when it was a bit younger, but it was quite a huge fish. And then my son has, Ubaidullah, he's taken to catching very, very big fish. You know, he loves it. He goes all out for it. He's learned a lot about the tackle and about the rods and how he needs to prep himself. So he used half a fish head and he cast it out and he hooked himself about 11 kilo barber. So like I say, although the fishing was slow, but when you were hooking into fish, oh yeah, and my beautiful fishing rod, my ugly stick, the I think it's made by Shakespeare.
Yeah, the ugly
and
stick.
My brother just gave me the ugly stick. It was a beautiful 10-footer, and I had the line in the water, and I forgot to open up the drag on the reels, and I was busy brying, on the top section there, because it was families together, and inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. My whole rod went away. I don't know what picked up that rod, but it took the whole rod into the water, and the guys that were standing at the bottom say they couldn't even get to the rod, because it basically just the line started pulling, and next thing the whole rod just lifted off the stain and shot into the water.
Sure. The only advice I can give you now, Adil.
Yeah.
Go to Sorry's English Corner in Farinakh.
I'm going to have to go. I hope they're listening to me.
Because it happened in that area there, perhaps somebody picked it up and took it that way.
I hope so. There's a fish swimming around with my rod there.
The one that got away. And then we have Brother Muhammad Patel with us on the line as well. Let's see what information and advice or tips he's got to share with our listeners for today. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mawlana, Adil, and all the listeners of Radio Islam. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, yourself, Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah,
shukr, alhamdulillah.
Well, do you hear this guy, how he's losing tackle and rods nowadays?
I know. That carp story, I don't know if it's doing too well for him. making him a bit slow there. he must change his facet of fishing. Maybe join us with the best.
With the best, yeah. Mm. You know, talking about that moment, we're always focusing on the fishing. And obviously, in the last couple of programs that we were talking on together, we were discussing bears boats, but before we move on to boating, tell us a little bit about any good fishing trips you had recently.
I haven't fished maybe for about, I think, 7 months, 8 months. I don't even know what is it anymore. So I'll really be going fishing tomorrow, maybe from the bank somewhere. So we'll see how the weather pans out and how it goes for the day tomorrow. Inshallah, we can get maybe a line in somewhere. Maybe we can join one of you guys wherever you're going.
Inshallah, maybe Mullah Sajjad is itching to go fishing. I know, I can just feel it.
Yeah, no, but if you join me, you probably end up going weddings in it these days.
Just because, you know, it's almost like they plan, you know, these weddings on the wrong times. You know, you get these long weekends to go away fishing and then you have to go to a wedding.
It's like couldn't you choose a better weekend?
Must kill the long weekend. Now we'll make a Saturday wedding or something. It's always an issue. Mm. Yeah, but I think probably because they have relatives or people coming from far and so, plan it like that.
I think they should consider fishermen in the plans.
We last on their list.
The very bottom.
I think, you know, some wise, even the wise that listen, just take a few. You know, notes and tips. You know, happy success for happy marriage is a happy fisherman. You know, so always make sure that you get your husband prepared to go somewhere. I don't think that's gonna happen.
You know, Muhammad. Generally, Adil says that when Adil needs to get a message across, he uses the radio platform.
Yeah.
Are you not doing the same thing, perhaps?
No. My visa is there all the time.
He's talking on behalf of all fishermen out there. Which is give him a chance. Let him speak.
Sometimes it costs you even more to go fishing because you have to bribe the wife so much. You know, leave them with a credit card or you know, it costs you more going fishing at the end of the day. You know, so sometimes maybe better to stay at home.
All the secrets are coming, and I think there's a lot of fishermen out there that can relate to exactly what you are saying. So they must be even saying, talk more, say more. Let the wife understand a happy marriage and fishing, and they like those kind of words, yeah.
You know, I got a friend, he's such a crazy fisherman, getting married. I told him, I hope you know you made these rules and regulations before you get married. He started laughing, he said, no, he's okay because his future wife, you know, enjoys outdoors as well. They come from a family from outdoors, you know, so they like fishing and stuff like that. So, you know, they thought that, you know, if you got a wife that don't like fishing, that's a big problem. Big problem.
Mm.
You know, I'm talking about really nonsense things there. They're probably going to say, who the hell is this guy?
They'll come for you, yeah. They'll come.
I'm sitting here.
The last time we were talking, we were looking into bears boats, and alhamdulillah, we've covered quite a lot of the different facets, you know, of the bears boats. We've looked at the live wells, you know, we've discussed the platform structure of the boat so the guy can stand on the boat and fish from it. One thing we were going to get into was that little trolling motors, you know, and what sort of the purpose of the trolling motor and, you know, like, how important is it for a bears boat?
Trolling motors are very, very, very important. I think for any bass fisherman, if you don't have a trolling motor, it becomes very, very difficult to fish, especially, you know, if you're trying to be as quiet and stealthy as possible approaching any spots, fishing spots or areas. Trolling motors, we have got foot control and we've got hand control trolling motors. Now, initially, as a startup for a beginner, you know, either they either buy a small rubber duck or a small dinghy. Always try to start up, you know, with something that's suited for the size of boat or vessel that you're going to be buying. Because sometimes if you buy a trolling motor, people buy, you know, these smaller hand controlled trolling motors that are way, way, way underpowered. You know, and what happens there when they get into like a windy situation? For example, let me give you an example. Maybe a guy buys a 3 meter small duck or something like that, and he puts on a 12 volt, 30 pound trolling motor. Now, the poundage basically is the thrust and the power of the trolling motor, and. When the water is calm, he'll be able to move the vessel around quietly without spooking, you know, the area too much and approaching good fishing areas. He'll be able to do that on a calm day. The minute the wind picks up, that 30-pound thrust is not going to actually be enough to drive, well, to fight that wind, you know. When you're looking at brands, there is a vast, you know, a variety of different brands now that are coming to South Africa. We've got, you know, the Water Snake trolling motors. We've got the Jarvis Walkers. We've got Minn Kota. We've got the Motor Guide. When you're looking at the Motor Guide and the Minn Kota, you know, they're the superior brands. So always look at what you feel you can buy or what you can afford, but try and aim for a branded name, because some of these trolling motors are proven and, you know, in terms of their ruggedness and durability, especially if you get to go fishing, you know, every weekend or every opportunity out, you know, the more you use it, the more you're actually going to put strain and wear and tear on it. So try and look at something that's much more rugged. Coming back to the different types of trolling motors, we have the hand control trolling motor for people that don't actually know how to operate foot control trolling motors. There is disadvantages to the hand control. The foot control, I think the only disadvantage would be the initial operation of the foot control trolling motor. You know, your leg coordination, understanding how it actually works, you know, and coordinating your leg, trying to balance and fish at the same time. With a hand control, you're always having to leave your rod, you know, with the one hand and control the trolling motor. Now, when you get back to what I was saying earlier on, in a windy situation, you know, you're going to have one guy that's busy with the trolling motor all the time, because it's so windy, he has to move the vessel left, right, trying to try and stay on a particular area or spot. Now, as when you're looking at the foot control trolling motors, those trolling motors, you can actually, you've got your one leg, depends if your right or left leg is stronger. Normally, I think most anglers use their left leg, even right leg, I alternate all the time. To control the trolling motor, now there you have your hands, which you can actually, you know, use when striking a rod or casting. You're not interfering with, you know, your fishing. Your legs are doing all the work.
Mark, moment, can I just stop you there? In terms of your legs doing the work, you mean accelerating and turning as well?
That's correct. See, the foot control trolling motors have what we call a pedal. We've got the different types of foot control trolling motors. We've got cable-driven trolling motors. When I say cable-driven, it works on almost like a pulley system.
I'm sure a lot of the users are familiar what a pulley is. So basically, you know, you're pushing and pulling. It has cables that run through the trolling motor shaft, coming down to the foot pedal, which actually steer, you know, the trolling motor right or left. For example, if you press your toe all the way down onto the pedal and depress the pedal, you'll be moving left. Or if you press your heel down, you'll be moving right. Just giving you an example on how, you know, these foot control trolling motors function. They have different functionalities. When I say that, what I mean is you can put the trolling motor on a continuous speed. So we have a selector switch on the trolling motor which has like a continuous run, meaning it's continuously on. You wouldn't have to control it via your toe. Now, underneath your foot on the pedal is a round, what we call a switch. You can activate and deactivate the trolling motor, meaning let the propeller turn by pressing the switch, and once you leave the switch, the propeller will stop moving. So we have a momentary on and off, which can be controlled by your foot, or we can have a continuous, you know, permanent on switch, you know. And, yeah, depending, sometimes if you just want to stay at a certain speed in the wind, fishing, you know, for example, a weed line or fishing a certain bank, where you'll be doing what we call power fishing, either fishing a spinnerbait fast, or something like a crankbait, or you know, any bait that you can work quite fast, then you would set the thing probably on about 30 or 40 speed, throwing down a bank and trying to cover as much water as possible, you know, by using that sort of method. And then if you're just trying to stay on a spot on a calm day, or even in a windy situation, but you're staying on a particular area, then you would use the momentary function, you know.
So I'm taking from what you're saying here is that if you're fishing a bass boat, you know, in a particular area, you're not going to anchor down, and the trolling motor is actually the thing that's keeping you sort of in the area that you want to be in.
That's correct. See, sometimes bass fishermen do anchor if they're fishing probably a section that has a lot of structure around it, and you know, they can't control the trolling motor, or they just want to anchor on a spot. But now with the newer technologies and the newer types of trolling motors, we have features like electronic anchor, where it makes your fishing so much easier and better. Where you can come to an area, press a button with your foot or with your handheld remote, which will electronically anchor your boat on that particular position. These trolling motors have built-in GPS, you know, with the anchoring feature. So if you lock onto a certain area using a GPS and tell the trolling motor via, like I said again, either a button on the foot pedal or on the remote, that you want to stay on that particular location. So then the wind blows you out, or you move away from that spot, it brings you back to where you've actually locked, spot locked on that area, you know. And that makes fishing, you know, such a breeze, especially in the wind, especially sometimes if you just want to take a break, sit on the deck and, you know, have a bite or something, and you're on your favorite area, or you're on a hot spot and you want to stay there. These motors will keep you there without having to hassle of, you know, trying to fight the wind, or am I on the right area, am I on the right spot, did I move off my spot, you know. So with the newer technologies that are coming out, fishing is becoming just easier and easier, you know, to stay on offshore areas, to stay on your favorite areas. And the types of trolling motors that are coming out, it's phenomenal, it's crazy, it's
Norman, how subtle is it? Is it the trolling motor under the water? Because I mean, like you said, I mean, naturally with your bigger motor, you're going to be disturbing the water or the fish under, and of course you're going to kind of lose that spot momentarily. So how subtle are these motors underwater that it actually doesn't even affect the fish under?
Look, I wouldn't say it doesn't affect the fish. Initially, yes. I've seen it will affect fish, especially on dams where really, really clear water. Now, you know, a lot of this stuff, I would say, what I've seen and heard, and experience are contradictory, because you'll go to a dam like the Whip in a summer season, and you're right on top of the bass, and the trolling motor's making a noise, and these fish, you know, are not even worried. You know, you throw a bait, and, you know, they'll bite. And then you go to a dam like Redbank, where you approach a spot a little too rough, and those fish just shut down, they don't want to bite. Look at a dam like Loskop, for example. People find it very difficult catching bass on Loskop. But if you approach the area, you know, for example, if your spot is like 40 meters away, and you approach like 30 meters away from it, and as you get in, you know, you basically just inch your way in like really slowly without having to let the trolling motor blade turn all the time. Like I say again, you know, the fish ultimately at the end of the day are definitely, you know, they definitely will get spooked, but not as much as what we would they would with a bigger outboard motor. I mean, if you start that outboard motor, those fish will just swim away, like, you know. They'll be gone from that area, definitely.
Ahmed, unfortunately, we've got to wrap up the program for today. Engineers is indicating that there's still a lot of ads to catch up with. It was good catching up after a while, and perhaps we can continue with this discussion. I know Adil was mentioning yesterday when myself and him were chatting that this boating discussion has become very, very interesting. So we'll continue with this sort of discussion, inshallah, in next weekend and weekends to come thereafter as well, inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Adil, we're going to let you literally run away back into sports. We're going to catch up with you as well, Adil.
Inshallah, it was a pleasure talking to you after a while. I wish I can come to the studio one of the days to see your Mubarak face, inshallah. Or perhaps maybe we have the outside studio and the outside broadcast. We haven't done one like that in a while, inshallah. Let's work on something, inshallah, soon. And I'll catch up with you when I see you again.
Amen, inshallah, Adil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Manana Sajjati Maul, and to all our wonderful listeners.